Look at John chapter 3. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
John chapter 3, and I'm going to read the first 7 verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You must be born again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our children and for the work they've done this week and for all the people interested and take their time and teach them. We thank you for them. We thank you also for the opportunity to preach the gospel one more time. I ask you to give me freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. I pray that your Holy Spirit will open the minds and hearts of all that hear. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's an interesting story and one that's been preached on many, many times. I've preached on it quite a few times myself. Nicodemus was a very religious man. He was a very successful man. He was a Pharisee. That means he was a believing Jew. He believed in the prophets. He believed in heaven. He believed in hell. He believed in angels and spirits. So he was very much like a fundamental Jew that believed the Word of God. He was also a very successful man. It says he was a ruler of the Jews. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. And that makes he's one of the 70 men that led the nation of Israel. So he's very, very high man in office. I don't know how many times I've heard it said that the reason why he came by night was because he didn't want anybody to know he was talking to Jesus. Well, that may be true, but that doesn't have to be true. You realize with the crowds that Jesus Christ had, with all the people thronging him every day, how could he get to the place where he could have a conversation, ask him some questions, talk to him personally? You know, it's hard. People come and ask us something like back at the door and ask a question, and people are coming in and out. Well, it's hard to give your undivided attention back there. So you might have to make an appointment for another time sometime. And that's the way it is sometimes with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was thronged with people. So I'm not sure that Nicodemus came at night because he was afraid. That's entirely possible. He didn't want to be in trouble with the other people. And yet we find Nicodemus coming to Jesus right here. And when Jesus dies, Nicodemus is one of the men who takes his body and buries him. So he stands out pretty good right there along with Joseph of Arimathea, who was also a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's a man that knows the Bible very well, memorized probably much more of it than you have. He studied it all the time. He was a teacher and a leader of it. And he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, We know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the things that you do if God was not with him. Now, that's a statement of faith right there. He said, we know you come from God. He didn't say, I know you're the Messiah. I know you're God in the flesh. I know you come, you know. He didn't say that. But he said, we know you come from God because when we look at your life, we know no man could do what you do if God wasn't with him. And of course, that's true. That's like the blind man over in John chapter 9. He'd been blind since he was born. And Jesus comes along and he gets healed. And the ones that were attacking him, the Jews, the leaders of the Jews that were attacking him said, this man's a sinner. He said, a sinner or no, one thing I know, I was blind and now I see. You think I ought to believe you or I ought to believe him? I've been blind all my life. I'm seeing now. I know what he was. And so the same way with Nicodemus. You look around, you know, that's one thing that we need to think about in our own lives today. People judge us by what they see us do. They judge us by the way we live. They judge our Christianity. And by the way, they judge Jesus by the way you live. And that's the reason why you ought to be careful where you go, what you say, and what you do. Because everything you do reflects on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here he is, a ruler of the Jews, a man who knew the Scriptures, and a sincere man coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and asking him some questions. And he says, when he asked him these questions, verse 3, Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus, at many times when he's dealing with people, if you watch how he deals with people, he doesn't answer their direct question. He goes at the need of their heart many times. And here he talks about being born again. Now, this is the first time in the Bible I know of where anybody is told to be born again. But he tells him that if you have not been born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, he's an older man, I'm sure. He says to him, "How can that be?" And of course, he's thinking about his physical birth. How can I enter into my mother's womb and be born again? And one of the greatest things that's pointed out in this chapter right here is that your physical birth is flesh. It is flesh. It will always be flesh. It can never be anything but flesh. You need another birth, a spiritual birth. And by the way, when he talks about the water birth, that's not baptism, my friend. Because the very next verse says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." He said, right there, "Can a man be born when he is old? Can enter the second time into his mother's womb be born?" He said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Well, it's Happy Father's Day, and I know as a father of five that when the water breaks, you better head for the hospital pretty quick. Now, I got her to the hospital a time or two when it was plenty early. And a few times I thought I was really sophisticated and knew what I was doing and sat around the house till we almost didn't make it. It's a water birth. Your physical body is enclosed in a sack of water in a mother's womb. Got to be born of water. That water breaks or you don't come out. You come out of that. So what he's talking about is not just a physical birth. He's talking about a spiritual birth. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. Now, verse 7 is the thing that caught my mind, the verse that caught my mind. Ye must be born again. Now, I wrote down a few. Now, I don't generally use notes very much, but I wrote down a few notes of just some thoughts that I wanted to say the reason why, like you must be born again because. I want to give you some thoughts. You have to be born again. Jesus said you can't even see the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. He said you cannot enter it unless you're born again. Well, there's several reasons for it. The natural man that cannot see the kingdom of God. Bible says that. All of these things that I'm going to read to you and the thoughts I want to bring to your mind, I can give you scriptures for them. They're quite easily proven. Paul tells us that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God because they're spiritually understood. And so you in your natural flesh, in your natural mind, are not going to understand those things. So you must be born again because the natural man cannot see the kingdom of God. And you must be born again because flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. If you don't have a second birth, if all you've got is your physical birth, there's no way for you to get to heaven. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. When the religions of the world make images or statues or other things in this world to represent God, it's a misrepresentation from the very beginning. Because God Himself is a spirit, and you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so you must be born again because flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. There's another reason why good works do not pay for sin. There's an awful lot of religion in the world that believes that, well, if you've done something wrong, you do something good, you pay for it. You make up for what you've done wrong. You do penance or you make good works to make up for the bad works you do. But if you look through the Bible, go through the New Testament, read the epistles of Paul, you know what you're going to find? Good works cannot take you to heaven. You can't have enough of them. By the way, the very best of you don't have enough of them. I know some of you in here are better than others, no doubt in my mind. And some of you are real scoundrels. But you know what? It doesn't matter either way. None of you are good enough to go to heaven. That's why you need to be born again, because the first birth didn't work well enough. There's another thought. You must be born again because the law cannot save. Now, if there had been a law given, the Bible says, that could have given life, then verily righteousness would have come by the law. But God Himself is telling you the law was not meant to save you. The law was meant to condemn you. What does the law do? It teaches you God is righteous and you're unrighteous. Every time I read the law, I've been saved right at 50 years, and every time I read the law, I say, sinner, sinner, sinner. Well, I missed on that one, and I missed on that one, and I missed on that one, and maybe I didn't do that one, but probably did. Aren't you about the same way? Can you read your Bible? One good reason for you reading your Bible just every so often, my friend, is every time you read your Bible, you're going to see that you come up short. Keeping the law cannot save your soul and cannot gain you entrance into heaven. Therefore, you must be born again because the law cannot save you. And then religion is insufficient in itself. There's a lot of religion in the world. And I think most of us are somewhat religious. I think the scientists are religious in some of their thoughts. They think themselves not to be so. But it takes a great deal more faith to believe some of the things they say than it does just to believe there's a God. If you give me the first four words of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God, everything else is clear. There's not a contradiction once you have that statement of faith. So I want you to understand religion is not sufficient in itself to get you to heaven. Now I know that goes against the teaching of many, many religions. Because the religion itself is teaching you, follow these mandates, do these things, obey these rites, join this group, join that group, and you have a better chance of getting into heaven. Well, the truth is, my friend, religion cannot do it for you. And therefore, you must be born again. It's a must. Not that you might be born again or hope to be born again and maybe be born again. You must be born again is what the Bible says. That's Jesus. He tells this to this very, very religious man, very accomplished man, very good man, very respected man. He tells him, you must be born again. Your religion is insufficient. Reformation is not enough. Now, a lot of people reform, and I'm thankful for everybody that reforms. I'm thankful for every drunk that quits drinking, everybody that quits smoking. I think everybody quits lying and stealing and cheating and committing adultery. And I'm thankful for everybody that reforms. It's a good thing to reform. Sometimes we need to change the way we've been living and get a better lifestyle. But let me tell you something. Reformation does not get you into the doors of heaven. You cannot go to heaven because you reformed the flesh, because reformed flesh is still flesh. God is a spirit. You're still flesh. You have to be made spirit in order to be able to fellowship with God. Something else that baptism does not bring life. Now, some like to go to this verse right here and say, a man must be born of water. My friend, that's not baptism. I was baptized twice before I was saved and once after I was saved. I've baptized some people. I remember a church I pastored one time. I had one little girl just kept getting saved over and over again. She's about 17 years old, and just about every month she's getting saved all over again. Finally, I just quit refusing to baptize. I quit baptizing her. I said, look, God can lay it on me. I'm not going to baptize you anymore. You've made enough confessions of faith. Either you're saved or you're not. If you get saved, that's all right. I'll credit God giving you, I baptized you already. Baptism doesn't save you. A physical act cannot make you spiritual. You see, the problem is essence. It's what you're made of. Now, you had a physical birth, and you testify to that physical birth every day. When I was growing up as a teenager, I looked much more like my mother than I did my father. I had black hair and dark skin, and in a lot of ways, I favored her family. I'm an old man now. As I've gotten older, I look a whole lot like my dad. And I think, how does that happen? My wife had the same sort of experience. When she was young, very much like her father. And she was a tomboy, and he just had two girls, so he made her his boy. And as she got older, got about 40 years old, she began to look just like her mother. You know why? She has a physical birth. She had a father and a mother that gave her genes and characteristics, and there's no way she can get away from them. No way you can change what you are physically, because it's been given to you, and it may go back through a grandfather and a great-grandfather, and no telling how far back it goes. You're tall, or you're short, or you're fat, or you're skinny. There's a whole lot of that stuff you can't do much about. Maybe you're pretty. Well, maybe you're lucky, maybe you're not. I sometimes think that beauty is a curse. Maybe you're ugly. Oh, maybe you've got all sorts of problems. Well, blame it on Grandpa. A whole lot of your problems come in just what you've got. You know, there's some people in here with cancer. There's some people in here with diabetes. Some people in here with eye problems, sinus problems, all sorts of problems. Where'd you get them? Mom and Dad, Grandma and Grandpa, great-grandma, great-grandpa. Maybe you got some other things from them, too. You got a physical birth, and it affects you. You got a physical birth, and all your physical life, that birth will affect you. Your parents had an effect on you, not just the way they raised you. They have an effect upon you on the genes they gave you in that birth. But you were born of the flesh. You are flesh, and that flesh will die flesh. You cannot make the flesh spiritual. Cannot be done. And then I want to say one more thing. The old man is dead. The old man is dead. You need to be born again. Now, being born again is very simply born another time. You were born. I was born 70-something years ago. Some of you were born 12 or 13 years ago, or 25 years ago, or 34 years ago. But you were born. You had a beginning. You had a birth. Now, you need to be born one more time. At least one more time. I'm not talking about going back into your mother's womb. That's an impossibility. That'd be an impossibility 2 weeks after you were born. Right now? Oh, that's not going to happen. So the man is asking him a question that's a pretty good question. How can this be? I can't go back and go into my mother's womb and be born again out of my mother's womb. Well, that's not what Jesus wanted. He didn't want him to have another physical birth. You see, Jesus knows that God is spirit, and that the only way you communicate with God or worship God is in the spirit. That's the reason why so much of religion is maybe good practice. It might help you in some ways, but it doesn't necessarily reach God because He is a spirit. He's not an individual that's walking down the road. You know, they got a new movie out. God's walking around, you know, in the back of a taxi giving instructions. I saw the advertisements on it. Let me tell you what, God's not walking around like that. God is a spirit. He can be anywhere, and He can be everywhere, and all at the same time. He's so big He can hear all your prayers and know which ones to answer and which ones not to. He's a Spirit. Now you have to deal with God through the Spirit. You can't deal with God through the flesh. Now that doesn't mean a lot of things that you do in your flesh cannot be good. They can be good. We can help a lot of people in the flesh. You can actually physically go and give your time and help people that are in need, and that's a good thing to do. And God recognizes it. The Bible says, He that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. Can you imagine God ever being in debt to anybody? I think that's a pretty good statement to think about. He that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. Why? Do you think you could give to the poor and God not pay you back? Well, see, some things physically, yes, it fits that God takes credit. God gives credit where you do these things in the flesh. But God is a Spirit. To fellowship with God, to worship God, you must do it in a spiritual manner. And you, in your flesh, cannot do that. You need another birth. You needed another way. Not flesh, but spirit. You need another life. You got a physical life because you were born and you grew in the womb and then you hit the air and you begin to breathe and scream and yell and want your way. And most of you haven't stopped wanting your way up till today. Now you need a new birth. You need a birth that makes you a spiritual being, that changes you on the inside. It's not enough to reform the outside. It's not enough to conform this physical body to a certain set of rules. You need an inside change, something that changes the person on the inside. Now, some of you that were saved when you were very young, you may not recognize it. I was saved just before I reached 21 years old. Almost 21. And my life changed just like that. One night, I went to bed a sinner and woke up a saint. One night, I went to bed thinking one way and woke up the next morning thinking another way. When I walked into my bedroom, then, of course, I didn't sleep much that night. I said, woke up. I guess I might have slept some. I don't remember now, but I didn't sleep much. But God brought a change in my mind. God brought a change in my heart. God brought a change in the way I think. I didn't look any different. I didn't walk any different. I still had the same wife and the same kids and the same trailer house. Still was in the Air Force. But boy, what a change had taken place. I joined a church when I was about 11. I was baptized when I was about 11. I joined another church when I was 18 when I married my wife, and I was baptized again, joining her church. But there was no change inside. There was no change in my heart. There was no change in my desire. There was no change in my direction. There was no change in what I lived for. But oh, I want you to know, the first day of September 1957, God changed my heart. He didn't make me perfect. I didn't quit all the things I should have quit. I wasn't doing everything like I ought to do it. I didn't know everything about the Bible or what God wanted to do with my life. But I tell you what I knew. I was a son of God. I was an heir of heaven. I wasn't going to hell. I was going to go to heaven. God, by His Holy Spirit, entered in and I got the experience of what they call being born again. And being born again changes everything. It changed the direction of my direction. It changed the direction of my wife and my children. Changed the direction of some of you. You must be born again, is what Jesus said. You must be born again. It's not enough to be religious, and it's not enough to join a church. It's not enough to be baptized. Praise God for this young lady that's going to get baptized. You're supposed to be baptized. That's a commandment of God. But you need to be born again. Now, how to be born again? Look at John 3:14. Same chapter. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The very simple truth is, you cannot be born yourself. What did you have to do with your physical birth? Absolutely nothing, except you were there. You were acted upon. Your mother and your father made some decisions, but you had nothing to do with it. You're the result of it. Do you remember your physical birth? No. You know how you know when you were born? Somebody told you the date. Maybe your mama told you how much trouble you've been ever since you've been here. You're being born again. You cannot do that for yourself. Just like the physical birth, you can't do it for yourself. God Almighty does the work. Who does He do the work on? Believers. Real simple. Believers. You know what He said here? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You remember that story? The people had sinned. The Bible calls them fiery serpents. I don't know whether they were real red like a copperhead or another snake, or whether their bite was just so stinging and burning. But he called them fiery serpents. Thousands are dying. Moses goes to the Lord, and the Lord tells him to make a brass image of that serpent, put it on a pole, and stick it in the center of the camp. And then he tells the people, if you've been bitten, run to that pole and just look on it. And all that run and look will live. And the plague was stopped. Not an awful lot of people died before they got there. And there were probably some skeptics that died that could have been saved. But the ones that believed the message that they were given and looked on this brazen serpent lived. Well, that's the same message of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he was? He was hung on a pole. A wooden cross. On the hill of Golgotha. You know what the Bible tells you? Look and believe. And be saved. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Very simple truth. Very simple truth. What happens is you believe, you repent, and God gives you a new birth. If you really believe and you really repent, God will come into your heart and change you from this day forward. You don't have to walk out of this place lost. You may have walked in here lost. You don't have to walk out lost. Because if you believe and call upon the Lord and ask Him to have mercy upon you and save you, He'll do it. You know how I know? He did it for me. And if He did it for me, I think He'd do it for you. The Bible says you must be born again. You need to come to God and let Him change your life. You need to believe the gospel story that Christ paid for your sins, paid all your debt. He'll give you eternal life He'll make you a son of God, and He'll take you to heaven when you die.
Thank you, Lord.
What a beautiful message. What a beautiful gospel. If you're here and you're not saved, I hope you'll trust Christ this day. My Christian friend, if you have any burden upon your heart, this altar's open. If you're here and not saved, my friend, would you come down, grab my hand, and say, I want to be saved.
Amen.
Call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll save your soul and change your life. I'm going to sing number 249. Would you stand and sing it with me? God in His mercy gives you an opportunity to be saved today and saved.